You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
Well, tonight we are in for a treat. You know, I've talked about Brother Don for years, and he's talked about me for years in a good way. I knew Don before he was saved, you know, and I witnessed to him for years. He was a tough nut to crack, let me tell you. I'm not going to kid you. And we went back and forth, you know, but we were friends during all that time. I remember it was January 1st, 1980. That's when it was that Brother Don called me on the telephone. I was down in Deer Park, Texas, and hadn't seen him in a while. We'd worked together on jobs, and you know, I'd witnessed to him for years and years, and he'd been watching a Christian television program, getting up early in the morning, getting coffee. I'll tell you, Christian television is a powerful thing, powerful thing. And I really believe he was saved or had gotten saved, but he hadn't talked to anybody about it and hadn't prayed with anybody. And he called me, and you know, he said, "Hey, this is Don." I said, "Don, how you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm doing good." And he kind of stuttered around there, and he said, "Well, I've been watching this program." He asked if I'd heard of it. I said, "Yeah, yeah." And, well, anyway, he said, he finally got to the point. He says, I need somebody to pray with me. I think I need to pray the salvation prayer or pray with someone to be." And he said, "I knew you'd pray with me." Man, I'll tell you, I was crying on the other end. Don was crying on the other end. We prayed. And, boy, it's been Katie bar the door ever since. 6 months later, he was baptized in the Holy Ghost, met me down in Houston. We flew down to Guatemala. I'm serious. We flew off into the Patan jungle. We landed in a bush plane in a field. They let us out, came, picked us up 8 days later. There were no cars, no roads, and we preached up and down that river in thatch roof villages. We baptized five in the Passion River, the Rio de la Pasión, Passion River, and Don preached. And I guess that's the first time he preached. It's the first time he ever preached. And I saw the anointing of God on him. I saw it just come on him. And I remember telling him, I said, "Don, you're called. You are called to preach." And he's been pastoring in my hometown for over 20 years now. 22 years or so. In fact, at one time, my mama got right with God and started going to that church. Yeah, sure did. Isn't that awesome? And they're just taking center by storm. I mean, they have got the kickin'est church. Because in East Texas, there's a lot of kickers in East Texas, you know. But we're just privileged to have them here. Brother Don's ministered here several times and just been a tremendous blessing. And I just thought it would just be appropriate to have him kick us off tonight. And so let's give a warm welcome for Pastor Don Murphy as he comes to minister the word to us.
I think I'm already on. Am I on? Okay. I want to introduce Cherry, my beautiful wife, and she used to go to, she was in art class with Michael when Michael was there.
The problem I was in was algebra Michael, class when Michael was there.
And even when Michael was there, Michael wasn't there. I mean, if you know what I'm saying.
Don't tell all that.
Oh, Jesus. And Cherry, was it? You were in the class with him, right?
That's correct.
And he did have an afro. He sure did. And when we were on the jobs, and I've got a lot of good preaching to do, so I won't be too long, but when we were on the jobs, he had a little green Bible that he carried in his lunchbox, and we used to kid him about it. And we were mean to him. For four or five of us, we thought it was funny to be mean to him. And bless his heart. And so we would do that kind of thing. And anyway, you know, on that, we were doing cooling towers. I don't know if you know what that is, but I think nearly everybody on that job got saved. I got saved. JT got saved. Dawson got saved. I don't know how many people got saved. Amen. And really, it just came out of that little lunch box he brought in. And during lunch, he would read his Bible. We thought that was a hooch, you know. We thought that was something. So So you figure, so when you want to get saved, you want to call a fanatic, amen? You want to call somebody that gets their Bible out at the lunchbox at the job, praise God.
Amen.
I mean, you know, you need somebody that's real when this thing really starts breaking loose. And so he was the only fanatic I really knew, so I called him up. I said, man, there's something moving way down on the inside of me. And we prayed, and I walked back into the living room at my mother and dad's house, and I tell everybody I smiled the first smile I ever really smiled. If you've never been born again, you've never really laughed like you need to laugh.
Amen.
You never laughed a true laugh. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
You never smiled a true smile. You never have. You've never been yourself until you get saved. So I walked in there, and I sat down at my mother and daddy's table, and you know they were sure glad that I got delivered too.
Amen.
Mom and daddy were. But I remember this big smile came on my face, and I thought, man, this is the first time that I've ever smiled for real in my life. And that was after I hung up the phone in the hall, walked in there and sat down, and man, we started this thing.
Amen.
We started this thing. You want to tell anything on him?
Well, I don't want to tell too much, but I tell you, it is an honor to be here tonight. We love Michael and Brenda, and they mean so much to us. And, I mean, even we went on our honeymoon in Galveston, and we came back, and we spent half of it at their house. So we really liked them a lot.
And I don't know why we did that, but we did that.
We wanted to visit. We wanted to visit. But we honor them, and we just hold them to the highest esteem. And you people that are members of Wills Point International Outreach Church, I already know that you know how blessed you are. But you are so blessed and honored to have them as your pastors. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. Amen.
Amen. Okay, if you will turn your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter 4, and we're going to begin in verse 35, and I'm going to take you further than you want to go. Amen. We're going to stay longer than you want to stay. But we got to get you back over into what the world would call ridiculous. We need to get back into the absurd. Can I have an amen?
Amen.
And get out of the reasonable, and get on back over there where God said we need to be.
Amen.
I mean, what this really is. And so I want you to look in verse 35. And let me pray. Lord, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Father God, for your goodness. We thank you for your anointing. We give you all the praise and all the glory for every good thing. Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus that you lift us, you guide us, you support us. We fly up on the wings of God. Lord, we thank and we praise you for just for that anointing tonight to be there for us. We're going to give you all the glory in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Okay, verse 35. And the Bible said in the same day when the evening was come, he said, talking about Jesus, and how many of you believe he believed what he said? Amen. And he said unto them, let's go unto the other side. Let's go to the other side. Now when he said, let's go to the other side, he's talking about their future. That's actually a prophecy. Every promise in the Bible, every word in the Bible, everything that God says, that is, now get this, that is your future. Amen. That's your future that he just read to you out of the Word of God. Every promise is Brother Ranch's future. Every promise he reads is his future. So God's calling us through His Word into the future when we look in here. The Bible says the Scripture is foreseeing, amen, looking into the future. And the same day when the evening was come, He said unto them, let's pass over to the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there was also with Him little ships. Now listen to this. And there arose, the Bible said, a great storm. That's a rebel storm. Can I have an amen? Now when things arise, you're going to run from them, you're going to surrender to them, you're going to be afraid of them. But the Bible says here, and there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves, which were real waves. I want to make that point tonight. These were real waves. These were real people. This was a real ship. This was a real situation that was going on. These were real, absolute, empirical, measurable facts. I mean, I'm talking to you, brother. I mean, this stuff was really going on. Now, somebody say, yeah, well, you need to face the facts. And I always say, yeah, and you need to face the truth. Amen.
Right.
You can face the facts. Listen. The facts will hem you in.
That's right.
But the truth will set you free.
Yeah, that's right. Amen. That's good.
The facts will hem you in. But the truth will set you free. So we're looking at all of these facts that are going on. And the Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep on a pillow, and they awaked him and said unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? You know, God, don't you care about us? Don't you care about what happens to us? Don't you see all these facts that are going on that everybody's talking about? That everybody's shown me? That the devil's shown me? Don't you see the facts about the wind and the storm and all these other things? Don't you care about us? Master, carest thou not that we perish? And now listen to this. And the Bible said he arose. And I love that part. The storm arose, and then praise God, Jesus arose. Amen. He didn't play dead. He didn't play dead. And the Bible said he rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Now he's faced with all of these facts, but then Jesus stands up and faces all the facts with the truth. Now I'm talking about real cold hard facts. I'm talking about maybe you've got things going on in your body and they are real facts. But listen to me. Instead of surrendering to the facts, you need to face the facts with the truth. And then the facts are going to change. Amen. I know this is going to go into the ridiculous in some people's minds. But when you've got all of these facts going on, they need to be faced with the reality of the truth. And then make the facts, praise God, change and line up with the truth. Can I have an amen? Make the facts change and line up with the truth. And the Bible said he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. He spoke to that fact. There was a wind there, but he spoke to it. And the Bible says it began to be still. One translation says, be muzzled. You know, button it up, zip it, be muzzled. How dare you rise up? And the Bible said, and the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And Jesus bound that wind. Then in verse 40, and he said unto them, why are you so fearful? They're fearful, listen. They're fearful because they're looking at the facts. You see what I'm saying? People say you got to face the facts. Well, we know the facts are there, but the thing you got to face is the truth. You can't just face the facts. You got to face the truth, and the facts are going to change. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Because they're facing the facts. And believe me, these are real facts. How is it that you have no faith? And the Bible said they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? That he was even God over nature. Now listen to all of these facts here. We've got Jesus is there, the disciples are there, the boat's there, the directive's there, go to the other side. The action's there, they do it, the water's there, the storm's there, the wind's there, the damaged ship is there, the ship sinking's there, the disciples are there, the accusation is there, they make a confession, we're going to perish, which is an evil report, and I want to make a report, I want to make a statement about that too. The fact of the matter is, if Jesus didn't do something, they were about to perish. Okay? Now here's the statement that I want to make. Even though what you're saying may be true, and it may be factual, it can still be an evil report. You see what I'm saying? You may be telling the situation exactly the way it is. I mean, bless God, this is the way it is. Brother Don, they got this and this and this. You can measure. These are real facts. But listen, if it doesn't line up with the truth, it's still an evil report. Because listen, you don't face the facts and surrender the facts. You face the facts with the truth and let the facts lay down. Can I have amen? You let the facts get in line, praise God. Whether it's Mother Nature or Father Time, they got to get in line with everybody else. So whatever it is, you face it with the truth and you let it change to match the truth. Amen. We're not gonna, well, you better face the facts. Yeah, you better face the truth. We're not gonna submit to, and even though, and here's the radical, crazy, you know, dangerous thing about it, is that these facts are real. These things are real. That storm's real. I mean, what's going on is real. Amen. And you can say, well, this is real and these facts are real. Well, I believe we better just submit to this. But you got to stand up in the face of very real and sometimes very dangerous facts. Listen to me. And you got to face those facts with the truth and let those facts reorient themselves. That's the way, listen, that's the way Jesus lived this. That's the way Jesus did this. That's what walking by faith is actually all about. Praise God. You don't walk by the facts. I don't care how accurate they are. They can still be an evil report. You don't walk by the facts. You walk by faith. You walk by the truth. Amen. No matter what the facts are. Who cares what the facts are? I mean, it doesn't matter what the facts are. What is the truth? What is the truth about it? What is the truth about it? Yeah, but what about all this? I know you're acting about it. I know that really happened. I could care less. This is what the truth said. Amen. Let the devil take the ditch. Can I have an amen? Let the devil take the ditch. and grab a hold to the truth and face the facts with the truth and back them down. Knock them down. Back them up. Back them out. Get them out. Make the facts, praise God, change to line up with the truth. That's what Jesus did. Yeah, but this is true. I don't care if the facts you're saying to me are true and very factual. If it's not the truth, you know, see what I'm saying? It may be accurate what you're saying, but it's still an evil report for you to say it to me if it don't line up with the truth. I don't want to hear your evil reports even if they are accurate. I don't care if the empirical data, you can measure it. I mean, everything you can say, you can document, I could care less. I could care. Jesus would run into facts, man, and he'd back the facts down with the truth. I mean, the fact of that storm being a storm, it just decided not to be a storm. It was the fact that it was a storm, but it ain't a storm no more. It ain't a fact no more, amen? Because the fact was backed down by the truth. He walked up and said, I know you're real. I know in physical life you're real, but I command you, you shut up. I command you to be muzzled in the name of Jesus. And the storm said, yes, sir, praise God. We'll just change the facts. And he just said, we'll believe, we'll go down right now. And he changed it. He changed it by speaking the word, by speaking the truth. By speaking the truth. Amen. I mean, we're not fact finders. We're faith finders. We're not looking for the facts. I got to find all the facts. You don't need the facts, brother. You need the truth. Amen. You need the truth. And then when you find the truth, then you're going to go with that. Man, there's a guy named Renfro. I don't know if any of you, I read about him. I'm going to be honest with you. But I read this testimony. And these were the facts. Okay? These are the facts, which absolutely makes no difference to me. If it's not the truth, I don't care if it's factual or not. I mean, who cares? These are the facts. He had bone cancer. Now, I'm going to tell you, if you got bone cancer, you got something. I don't know if you've ever had anybody that ever had that, but you got that, you got you one. You got you one mean horse to ride, amen? He was in the last stages, no cure. They said, go home, we can't help you anymore. Had tumors, couldn't shut the shower door because the tumor in his side was so big. Had blood clots, congestive heart failure, renal failure, that's the kidneys. Had bed sores and a split tongue. And I'm going to tell you, in my church, if I got somebody with a split tongue, and I'm not trying to be funny, but I'm going to tell you, not double tongue now, split tongue. I'm fixing to get down on my knees till their tongue comes back together. It's a fact they got a split tongue, but it's not going to stay that way because the truth said they ought to have one wholesome, well tongue, praise God, that a wholesome tongue speaks words of life, amen. And so we're going to come against them facts. We will attack the facts if we have to. I mean, with the truth, praise God, until those things line up with what God said. This guy here, Renfro, he didn't know a whole lot, and it's a good thing probably that he hadn't been through a lot. Sometimes it's good to be you know, untethered by a lot of stuff. And so he said, this is what is his testimony. He said, I started out, he's trying to get his healing. All those things were facts. He said, I started out with thanksgiving. I guess the Holy Ghost told him that. He said, I started out with thanksgiving and praise. And he said, now listen to this, y'all. He said, as I begin to thank God and praise God, he said, it moved me into faith where all things are possible. And he said, I found out that the facts can hem you in. But the truth can set you free. Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. And he got well. He got well. He got well. We know there's a lot of facts. I mean, I got a lot of time tonight, right? I know there's a lot of facts about the Middle East. I mean, you know and I know that Hezbollah is supported by Iran and Syria. Can I have an amen? You know their aim is to destroy Jerusalem and annihilate Israel. We know it's a fact that David reigned in Jerusalem. This is 3,000 years ago in 2 Samuel 5. 1,000 years before Muhammad even had a vision. For crying out loud. We know that Solomon built the temple of God, not for the Muslims. Can I have an amen? Yeah. Built it in Jerusalem, and Jehovah who came down in a cloud to confirm it. We know Jerusalem is where Jesus will enthrone, not Muhammad. Amen. And we know New Jerusalem is not a Muslim bride, it's a Christian bride. Amen? Now, those are facts, but all those facts line up with the truth. They all line up with the truth, and I'm okay with them. I'm okay with them. But I could care less about things that are factual and things that are right if they don't line up with the truth. Now, I want you to look over, and it's going to get a whole lot better right over here. Look over in Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. Mark chapter 5 and verse 22. And most of you, if you know this story about Jairus, And the Bible said in verse 22, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet." I'll tell you, anybody that ever fell at the feet of Jesus always got something. Remember that. "And besought him greatly and said, My daughter lies at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay hands on her, and she will be healed." It was a fact that she was sick. But he didn't submit to the facts. And the Bible said, "And she shall live." And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Now look in verse 35. Because I don't want to teach about the little lady with issue of blood tonight. Amen. That happened on Jairus' house. Verse 35. "While he yet spake," now listen to this, watch this. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain which said," now listen to this, how about this fact? "Your daughter is dead." How about being faced with that? "Your daughter is dead. She don't have a brain wave. She don't have a heart wave. I got some people in my church that don't think I got a brain wave. Amen." I got two of them here. They're my good people. Amen. What happens here stays here. Amen. But I mean, you know, here's this daddy. Here's daddy and his daughter. Well, you know, daddies and daughters have really special relationships. So they come and they say, "Thy daughter is dead." It's a fact. It's over with. We put the mirror under her nose. We've done everything. She's gone. He said, "Why trouble thou the master any further?" I mean, why don't you just quit? Why don't you just face the facts? Why don't you just face the facts right now? Just face the facts right now and turn around and go back. Boy, now right here's where we cross the line. Right here's where we get unreasonable. Here's where we get preposterous and absurd. But right here's where we start walking by faith. And not by facts. Amen? And not by facts. And so he said, I thank God for daddy. Daddies won't hardly give up on their daughter now. And the Bible said, "Thy daughter is dead. Why trouble thou the master any further?" You just must face it, turn around and go. But now listen to this. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid, only believe." But I got to read it to you like this. As soon as Jesus heard the fact, that word that they spoke, and one translation says this, it may be the Amplified, I'm not sure, it may be the Don Murphy translation, amen? But it says, now listen to this. Here they come with a fact. And the Bible says, Jesus hearing, but ignoring what they said. Looked over at daddy and said, "Fear not, just keep on believing. Fear not, just keep on believing." They come with a fact. They say, "Your daughter is dead. It's time for you to call it off. Time for you to go home." Jesus heard them. Jesus has got him. And here they're going hand in hand. I mean, they're on their way. They're on their way to a miracle. They're on the way. Jesus knows, "I'm fixing to lift her up. Praise God. I mean, I'm fixing to dump. Well, she's fixing to come up off of that bed." And then all of a sudden, here comes the devil. "She's dead. She's dead. It's a fact. She's dead. Y'all might as well go ahead and go home." Jesus, the Bible says, Jesus heard it. Hearing. Hearing, but ignoring. Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah. He ignored that fact. Hearing, but ignoring what they said, he looked at the daddy and he said, "Fear not. That's right. Just keep on believing." Amen. He said, "We're going to face this thing with the truth. We're going to face it with the truth." He said, "Come on, Daddy, don't stop believing. Don't let that evil report. You know, she may be dead according to the world. She may be dead according to every machine you can hook her up to. She may be dead according to whatever it's ever said they're dead." But Jesus looked at him and said, "Hey, don't be afraid. Just keep on believing. Bless God, let's go. And we're going to lift this baby up today. We're going to step out across this. We're going to get across where everybody else says it's over and go on. And we're going on to your house. And we're going to lift your baby up. She's going to be okay." Amen. Amen. He said, "We're going to face the facts with the truth. And we're going to be all right. Amen. We're going to be all right." Thy daughter is dead. Well, that's a heavy fact. You know how to knock the wind out of most folks. Why troublest thou the master any further? There's no reason for it. But as soon as Jesus heard that word that was spoken, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, I like to put it like this too sometimes. Be not afraid. I love you. Be not afraid. I love you. Just keep on believing. Just keep on believing. Amen. In other words, don't face that fact and submit. But turn around here and face me. I'm the truth. Come here, face me. Come here and face me. Don't look at that. Ignore that. You face me. You face me. We'll change this. The facts are not God. I'm God. I'm God. I don't care what nature said. He said, I don't care what time doth. I'll make time go backwards and I'll jerk the slack out of Mother Nature. Amen. Like I said, they'll have to get in line with everybody else. Praise God. Behind Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Lord. Then verse 39. And when he was come in, he said unto them, why make this ado and this weep? For the damsel is not dead but sleep. He was dead according to natural. And the Bible said in verse 40, she was according to the natural. But in verse 40, but they laughed him to scorn. Now see, when you really begin to live by faith, you need to get laughed at a little bit. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother of the damsel. I love that guy. I love that father. I mean, how many people would have just bugged out, you know, at that word? How many people would have just quit and said, this is ridiculous. She's gone. She's gone. She's gone. It's over. It's over. Jesus said, no, man, it's not over. You face me. You look at me. You don't face that. Let's keep going where we were going. You keep on believing. We're going to pull a healing out of the hat. Amen. And so he took the damsel by the hand and said unto her, Talitha kumi, I guess, which is, I don't care if you think you can say it and say it's right, you can't prove you're right. You ain't right. You can't prove you're right. I can say that any way I want to. Which is, the Bible said, being interpreted, damsel. Now listen to this. Listen to this. Damsel, I say unto thee, praise God, that is what the truth says. It's what the truth says. I say unto thee, get up and arise. And the Bible said, they faced the truth. He spoke the truth and the facts changed. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Amen. Somebody give the Lord a hand clap. Now look over in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Romans chapter 4 and verse 6. Most of you, the preachers already know. Well, now, some of them might not. You know, sometimes it takes me, I look in there and I can't hardly find some of these things sometimes. I've been doing it 20 years. The Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 4. The book of Romans chapter 4 and verse 16. Now let's look at something. Therefore the Bible said, it is by faith, not by the facts. Can I have an amen? Amen. It is by faith, it's not by the facts, but it's by faith, not by the facts. The Bible says, for it is by faith, praise God, not by the facts, that it might be by grace. To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. Not by facing the facts, but by facing the truth. Not to that only which is of the law, Jews in fact, but to those also which are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, the pater, the pattern, the original pattern of believing God and of faith. Amen. Now, how many of you know he had to do this deal? He had to face this, and so does everybody else. I guarantee you, you will. You will be faced with facts. You'll be given the... If you want to go, the devil will give you some transportation. You want to go back to Egypt, he'll find you a way back. The Bible said, had they continually thought about it, an opportunity would have come for them to go back. But it says right here, as it is written, verse 17, as it is written, I have made thee already a father of many nations. Before him whom he believed, even God, now listen to this, who quickeneth the dead, who makes alive and changes the facts, and calls those things which are not facts yet, which be not as though they were. Now, how many of you know that, he stood in front of the tomb of Lazarus? And you know, I had a memory last. Was Lazarus in there 3 or 4 days? 3 days?
4 days.
4 days. Okay. Instead of, if I ever need to know anything, instead of a strong concordance, I've got Brother Michael. I just ask him. So, he's standing, that's right. So, he's walking, talking, strong concordance.
I just know the Holy
Spirit. Amen. So he's standing in front of. Let me do this. So we're standing in front of the. Of Lazarus' tomb. You know, and the fact of the matter is, this guy. I mean, you know, he stinketh. He's been in there 4 days. You know, and they said, she said, he's been in there 4 days. You need to fast. Now listen, you need to face the facts, Jesus. Jesus said, no, sister, you need to face the truth. Well, but he's been dead 4 days. Jesus said, good, double good. Then that means he's not partly dead. He's all dead.
Yeah.
That's what I want.
Yeah.
That means he's real dead. We want him dead. We want it to be a fact, this guy. He said, that's good. He looked at her and he said, everybody keeps giving Jesus these facts. And they think it's okay, but they're evil reports. They think it's okay because they're accurate.
Right. Yeah, that's good.
It's not okay because you're describing a situation that's accurate. It's an evil report if it's not in line with the truth.
That's right.
Amen?
Amen.
Do you remember the children in the wilderness? Well, anyway, he says, Lazarus, boy. He said, I didn't say Roy. Boy. I mean, if it would have been me, I'd have put on a show. Amen. Glory. I would have had me a time. It would have been a production. I mean, I would have done it. But anyway, you know, he didn't have to do that. He didn't have any insecurities. So he said, Lazarus. You know, I mean, Lazarus is in the tomb, but I'm just assuming. Said, Lazarus. You know, Lazarus probably starts. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And I mean, Lazarus gets up, starts waddling out there. Somebody moved the stone. Is that what happened? Okay, thank you. Somebody moved the stone out of his way, and he waddles out there in his grave clothes. And then Jesus. Can you imagine Jesus, if I would have been Jesus, that's a good title. It would have been a terrible thing. But if I'd have been Jesus, I'd have looked over at Martha and I'd have said, I would have for a long time. I said, you see that? I said, now go smell of him. I tell you, that boy smells just like Bruce. Because Bruce's the best it's ever been. Always has been, always will be. You need to face that. You just need to face it and give up. Because that's the truth. I promise it's the truth. So here he comes forth. He looks over at Martha. He said, Martha, you know, we face the facts with the truth. And here comes Lazarus coming out of the grave. Amen. Well, it's been 4 days and he stinks. So what? So what? Did I not tell you that if you would believe, get over into faith and pass the facts, that you would see the glory of God? He said, I did not tell you that. He said, how many times did I tell you that? And then it says, verse 18, the Bible said who? Talking about Abraham now, not Lazarus, okay? The Bible said in verse 18, who against hope believed in hope. Hope means a vision. Hope actually means, H comes from the word hold and OPE from the word open. Hope means to hold open. Hope is a held open door. Amen. And we know Jesus is our hope, but hope means to hold open. The word hope also means vision. It's a vision. Hope will always mean vision. It'll always mean video, vision. Now, there's two hopes here, so there's two different visions. Can I have an amen? Amen. Is anybody losing me? Uh-huh. I need to come get you? Uh-huh. Y'all come on. Well, there's two hopes. That means there's two visions. Father Time's got one. Abraham's old. Well, it was already a fact. But who cares about facts, Jack, after you've heard this message? Amen. Amen. Well, there's another one. There's another one. There's not only Father Time. Mother Nature. Mother Nature says, it's all over with, boys. I mean, we passed. I mean, we're old. You know what I'm saying? Don't get embarrassed. Stay with me. And the Bible said, now listen to this. But I'm going to read it like this because this is better. Well, why do you say that? Because about 20 of King James's men translated this. Which I always use the King James. Amen. Nothing against the King James. But how many of you know the Apostle Paul did not have a King James? All right, now listen to me. It wasn't no King Don either. But it wasn't a King James. I mean, it wasn't. But now listen. It says in verse 18, I'm going to read it like this. Who against the facts believe the truth. Now listen to this. That he might and he might not. Depending on how he handles his situation. Oh no, brother. By the providence of God. No. I'm going to tell you, he had to grab a hold of the right hope and the right vision. One of them was facts and one of them was the truth. God has spoken to him. So shall thy seed be. He had to decide right there. He had to decide one thing. I'm not looking in the mirror no more. Amen. You ever look in the mirror in the mornings? Don't. Just don't do it anymore. It'll go better. But he said, who against the facts, the Bible said, believe the truth. I like that. That he might become. If he does believe the truth and not the facts, if he does face the truth and not the facts, if he does hearing but ignoring what Mother Nature said, hearing but ignoring what Father Time said, he said, I'm just going to keep on believing in the stars that God showed me, in the promise God gave me. I got a baby coming, praise God. Contrary to all the facts, I'm going to have a son. I'm going to have me an S-O-N, which means a so-on. It does. And so on and so on and so on. Ask Brother Michael. He's good at that so-on business, amen. I mean, there ain't no end to it. I love to go over to their house on after church. Man, I tell you what. Have you ever noticed that all his children are in church? Amen. And even when they get married, then they come to church. Amen. You ever notice that? Then the grandchildren start coming to church, and then I start getting like paranoid, you know, because there's so many of them. We go over to their house, you know, and Michael says, oh, the kids are coming over. I say, oh my God, you know. And here comes, well, Chris, I grew up, you know, I mean, I grew up. Chris grew up with under me, too. I remember Charity when Charity was this long. Maybe this long, maybe four. And we were at the lake. And you know, I've said this before. She don't like me to do it. It's the last time I'll ever do it. And Michael had her dipping her leg. She said, do it again. I'm talking about so-ons. Amen. I hadn't lost my train of thought. And the Bible said, who against the facts believed the truth that he might become so that it might happen. But if he decided to face the facts, it would not happen. If Jairus had decided to face the facts, it would not happen. That's what living by faith is all about. I mean, when you're faced with the facts, you don't back down, you don't surrender, you don't stop. You turn around and face the truth, and you let the facts begin to change. Amen. That's the way Jesus always did it. When the storm would arise, Jesus would arise. He didn't lay down and play dead. The storm rose, he rose. He said, shut up and sit down. Talking about the storm. I had a guy sit down back in the back. The Bible says that he might become the father of many nations. Listen to this, y'all. According to the truth. According to that which was spoken, not the facts. The facts said he couldn't do it, but according to the truth, according to that which was spoken. Now listen to this. So shall thy seed be, which was contrary to all the facts, contrary to Father Time, contrary to Mother Nature. But God said, if you'll believe the truth and if you'll face the truth, praise God, this thing is going to come to pass. I'll turn the dial backwards. Y'all remember when God did that? You remember that note? I'll tell you what, he said, I'll tell you what I'll do with time. He said, I'm greater outside of time. I'll make the dial go backwards. I'll make Mother Nature get back and get out of the way. But if you'll face the truth and not face the facts, we know the facts are there. But listen, y'all, we don't let them face us down. We don't side in with them. We know they're there. But we turn around and we face the truth. Amen? It is radical. It is wild. It is almost even dangerous. But it is true. It is the Bible. That's what it says to do. That's the way we're supposed to live. Right. Amen. Every evil report that comes, we say, well, it's over. It's too late. You know, let's go to the house. Like Peter said, let's go fishing. Let's go fishing. You know, Jesus, can't you see him? I see him bleeding. It's over. Let's go fishing. See, what we need to do is go a little deeper. And I'm not going to get off on another message here. But I'm going to tell you, this skipping this stones business across the sea of the spiritual world and just playing around with it and moving around over here around the shore, you know, where so you can keep your feet on the bottom so you can stay in control. So you can stay in control and not get out over your head where you lose control. Where, of course, after you've lost control, it don't matter how deep it is. Amen. I mean, you know, I'm shorter than I used to be. Did you know when you get older, you get shorter? Okay, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. Take care of that. Would you take care of that for me? Anyway, I'm 5'9". I know, that's right. Don't say nothing. I'm 5'9". Oh, Lord Jesus. You made me forget where I was. Now listen, let's get back to the text. And maybe that. The Bible said in verse 19, listen. And be not weak in faith by looking at the facts. Because that is what was going to weaken you. I mean, by fixating, by concentrating, by staying on the facts and not looking at the truth. That's going to build unbelief into you. Amen. It's going to cause you to want to go home. And so the Bible said, and be not weak in faith. Why? Why was he not weak in faith? Because he faced the truth and not the facts. That's why. And being not weak in faith, the Bible said, he considered not his own body, or he, just like Jesus said, he knew it but ignored, the Bible says, he ignored those facts. His body now dead, which was a fact, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Two medical facts that he was faced with. Two medical facts, absolute, unchangeable, almost immutable facts. I can do it on one leg. Two unmutable. And yet instead of facing that, fixating on that and meditating on that, when you meditate on a thought, you minister to that thought.
Amen.
Oh, yes, you do. You're hatching them. You're hatching it. Instead of facing that and meditating on that, he sided in, like Brother Hagin says, he sided in with the truth against two impossible facts. And listen, y'all. Truth manifested itself. I mean, he said, over into the realm of faith where all things are possible. And the Bible said, in verse 20, and it won't be much longer, I'll be finished. The Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God because he faced the truth. That's why he didn't stagger. Through the promise of God, through unbelief, which is just dwelling on the facts, believing the facts, accepting them as God. Amen. Of God through unbelief. But was strong in faith. Praise God. Giving glory to God. by facing the truth and by saying, Father, I praise you and I thank you, instead of looking in the mirror all the time and looking at how bad he was or how old Sarah was or how impossible things were, he'd go out and look at the stars of the sky and say, Dear Lord, I praise you and I thank you for the promise of God. So shall my seed be. I thank you, Lord God, that my promise is coming and I'm facing that right now. I'm going to keep my eyes on the truth. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. As long as Peter kept his eyes on Jesus, he walked on the water. But the moment that dude looked off somewhere, he went down immediately. You've got to face the truth. You've got to keep your eyes on it. Yeah, I mean, keep your eyes on it. Amen. You know the word importunity. You know what it means? Which means consistency. It means to stare. You know, who's going to blink first? You know what I'm saying? You know, in some testing trials, who's going to blink first? Me or the devil? I mean, it's high noon, praise God. You know, when the sun's in my eyes, who's going to blink first? Me or the devil? I'm going to tell you, he's fixing to blink. When he blinks and he opens his eyes back up, he's gone. Amen. If he blinks, I've got him. If he blinks, I had him. Because besides Brother Michael, I'm the fastest I've ever seen. Amen. Living or dead. If you blink, I got you. Don't you blink. He's saying the same thing. You blink, I'm going to get you. You blink, I'll have you. Called the blink of unbelief. And the Bible said he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith. How? Giving glory to God by facing the truth and being fully persuaded. Oh, these lights are hot up here. That what he had promised, now listen, what he had promised he was able to perform. Listen to this, that the truth would set him free from the facts. He was fully persuaded. The truth is going to set me free from Mother Nature and Father Time, and all facts will be set aside and my promise will come. Praise God. Amen. See that? And then the Bible said, and therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. So one definition of righteousness is this. Brother Michael, we'll preach this and copy this. You watch it. Within the next 2 months, he will say this, okay? He'll have it. It really came from God, but it came through me. From God through us, okay? But now listen to this. Listen to this. Believing. Y'all are getting wild. Here, this is the definition of righteousness. Believing that the truth will set you free from the facts. If you do that, it's accounted unto you for righteousness. Man, somebody ought to move in something. Bible said in verse 23, now it is not written for his sake alone that it was imputed unto him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe the truth. If we believe the truth and face the truth that Jesus was raised from the dead, which was a fact. But he raised him up, amen, by the resurrection power of God. And then just a little bit more in chapter 5. Therefore, being justified by faith and not by the facts, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the truth, and through facing Him in every situation, to whom also we have access by faith and not by facts into His grace and His favor wherein we stand. And grace to me is like sunshine, getting dragged out into the sunshine. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but now listen to this, but we glory in tribulations, which are myriads and myriads of facts that come at us, which are contrary to the truth. The Bible says, who has endured contradiction? Contradiction means to continue to travel, and diction means word. It means a word that keeps continuing to travel contrary to the word of God. It's called contradiction. It says nobody has endured contradiction or a contrary word as much as Jesus has. So we glory in our tribulation and all the contradictions, and all the contradictions that the facts may bring, knowing that tribulation, now listen, when tribulation is what I'm not talking about the tribulation, we're not going to be here. I'm talking about, brother, you go through some waves, you go through some, do you not? You know you do. You know you do. But we glory knowing that in tribulation, now listen, of all these facts coming at us, it worketh patience, okay? If in these tribulations we face not the facts and submit not to the facts, but we face the truth, in all these tribulations, with all these facts coming at us, with all these situations coming at us, we can have victorious patience if we learn how to face the truth and not the facts. Amen. And I'm going to tell you why, and I'm going to close. Because it takes a while sometimes for things to turn around. You know, Brother Hagin was on the sick bed 18 months facing the facts with the truth before the facts finally backed down. They said, "We give up. We've had all we want of this." And his healing came. Renfro, the guy I talked about, it was a while before he got totally well too. Abraham waited a long time facing the facts down, backing the facts down, attacking the facts with the truth. Till finally the child came. Amen. That's why the patience in tribulation, when you're bombarded, you know, when you're inundated with all these facts and things don't seem to change, you just keep on facing the truth. You know they're there. You're not going to side in with them. They are not God. God is God and the truth is God. And we're going to submit to Him and we're going to pray. Listen here. And we're going to, like Renfro did, we're going to start thanking God and praising God. It'll carry you into the realm of faith where all things are possible. Let Mother Nature get back. Let Father Time. Step back, Father Time. Okay. Take about two steps back on that sundial, Jesus. Yes, sir. Amen. Dear Heavenly Father, we love You and we praise You. We thank You, Lord God, for being so good to us. Lord, we give You glory. I thank You, Father, that we are not hemmed in by the facts. Lord, we're aware of them. We know the definition. You know what a fact is. Something empirical, something you can measure, something that can be observed. But dear Heavenly Father, I thank and I praise You. There's something greater than facts. There is the truth. There is the truth. Let heaven and earth pass away, but let the Word of God be true. Amen. Let every man be a liar. Let the Word of God be so. Let the Word of God be true. So dear Heavenly Father, we just thank and we praise You for the truth. To gaze upon. Oh man, where am I going to look, Pastor? Everything's so dark. Gaze on the truth. Yes. What am I going to do, Pastor? I'm getting bombarded with all these facts. That's okay. That doesn't matter. Gaze on the truth. Gaze on the truth. But yeah, but they said this, this, and this, and it's right. That's really that way. It doesn't matter if it's really that way. If it doesn't line up with the truth, it's an evil report. We're going to turn around and we're going to face the truth. Remember the daddy. Remember Jairus. What a great, great man. Who on his way with Jesus, him walking with Jesus to see his little daughter raised up. And they come right in the middle. Isn't it so like the devil? Isn't this so apropos? Isn't this so normal? Here comes an evil report. She's dead. And Jesus, hearing the evil report, it was accurate, but hearing the evil report, looked at Jairus the daddy and said, "Fear not. Just keep on believing. Keep a hold of my hand. I love you. Let's keep going. We're going to go to your house. We're going to raise your baby up." So dear Heavenly Father, we thank and we praise You. Abraham, Jairus, and all those, Lord, who when they were faced with these insurmountable facts, these very real facts, faced the truth. They faced the truth. They drug the facts out into the sunshine and let the facts line up. And Lord, we're going to give You all the praise. We're going to give You all the glory if you'll bow your heads for just a moment. If there's anybody in here tonight and you need prayer for anything, Brother Michael said it'd be all right for me to do this. I wouldn't do anything he didn't want me to do because he'd take me out back and thrash me after church. That's a fact. And you get thrashed when the leaves and everything is still on the limb. That's a thrashing. But if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, spiritually, mentally, and psychologically, emotionally, spirit, soul, and body, or physically, then we ask that you would come. That you'd have the boldness to get up and come down here. And I'll pray with you. Brother Michael will be right here with us. Got all these other good pastors. If you're here, and now listen to this, let me put it to you like this. If you've been faced with facts, insurmountable facts, and these are documented facts. These are not fairy tales. These things are in the natural real. They are dangerous. And yet, it's not God's will. It's not according to the promise of God. You need to get somebody to pray with you and side in with you on the truth. You need some splints. You know what I'm saying? I mean, if you got a leg and it's broken, you put a splint on each side, a piece of support. Sometimes, when you've got a problem, you need to get some help. I found that out. You need to get some splints, people, to get on one side and get on the other side, like Aaron and Hur when they lifted up Moses' hands, and you need them to stay there, praise God, till you're well and you're whole and you're healed up. You need to get somebody that'll whisper in your ear, the promise is real, God is real, the truth is real, on one ear and somebody on the other side until the facts change. You say, Brother Don, this is just so wild. No, it's wilder than I could ever make it. This living by faith thing is supernatural. It is supernatural. It is facing down facts with the truth. It's raising people from the dead the way Jesus did. It's healing the sick and diseases leaving. It's delivering people. People getting saved that at one time hated God. No, it's far more wild than I could ever make it. But yet it's truth. It's the truth. And dear Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you, Lord God. If you need prayer, come on right now because we're going to shut it down. We're going to shut it down, but we'll pray for you. Brother Michael, would you come and help me?